produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Love Your Making. I am Dr. V, your humble host. So glad that you join us. This is Sage Conversations, leader to leader. And we come to you every other week, and we want to just present to you what the Lord has been implanting in our spirits. And so we thank you for tuning back in with us. We thank you for the Joseph's Inspiration Network and Finding My Own Way, Caleb Padgett, and for all the supporters to make this word go global. What a blessing. And Father, we just pray right now that everyone listening, Father God, will be blessed by your word, will take your word, oh God, unto themselves and be healed by your word, delivered by your word, encouraged by your word. Oh God, that this word, oh God, will go forth through all the land and be a blessing to your people. Thank you for the anointing on Dr. V's life, oh God, to deliver this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I wanted to pick up where we left off last time we were together. You remember, I read Psalms 103, Isaiah 26, Isaiah 27, and Isaiah 28 in its entirety. Now, I know it was challenging for you to sit there and listen to Dr. V read to you, right? So elementary, right? But I wanted you, well, first of all, I want you to be obedient to what God told me to do. He said, read the word and pray. So I did exactly what God told me to do. So I'm not apologizing for it. But I'm thanking you for suffering Dr. V to do that in agreement with what God wanted her to do, okay? This week, he told me to just talk about it. And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it around this particular scripture, the 28 verses 12 and 13, where it talked about line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You know, the intent was, it was a mocking. But God said, yeah, that's okay. I take that mocking, but this is what I'm going to tell you. It is about line upon line and precept upon precept. And then I wanted to share with you, I looked up the word precept, and it said it's a command or a principle. It's a rule to guide and direct. It's intended especially as a general rule of action, a rule of moral conduct, a maxim of rule or direction to regulate behavior and thought. Now, I want us to remember that. It is to morally regulate behavior and thought. That's what a precept is supposed to do. So when you hear the word, and that's what I've heard all my life as a little girl. I don't remember when I heard it. I know that I've been in my spirit for years, and I'm 65 years old, and I started hearing God's word, I can remember at least at 5 years old. But there are two scriptures that I remember that were put in my spirit sometime in my life, and I just grew up with them, and I always said them. The one was, in my father's house, there are many mansions. And my stepfather would always say, because I'd always say that scripture at the dining room table, he would say, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. And I'd always look at him like, okay. I didn't know that that was the rest of the scripture. All I know is that was my prayer scripture for the blessing of the food. In my father's house, there are many mansions. Another scripture that I've always heard all my life, stayed in my spirit, was, it shall be line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, did I know where it was in the scripture? No. Did I know it was a part of the scripture? Yes. And so often when I would pray, God, help us to read your word and receive your word and to live by your word as it is line upon line and precept upon precept. I just remember having that concept of it. When I began to do some research on that scripture, as the Lord was dealing with me 2 weeks ago on what shall I say in this season to leaders? How can I encourage leaders to encourage their congregation or those that they lead? How can I help leaders to get people to seek God, his kingdom, and his peace and not buy into fear? Yes, obey the law of the land. Yes, go into your houses, stay home, rest at home if you can. Be okay with educating your children at home. Be okay with learning how to cook and cook well and make it on what you have left. Be okay with not being up close and personal with people, but still reaching out and still being a blessing and still being emotionally there for people. Help leaders to teach people how to do the new normal. And so that was a burden on my heart. And I kept asking God, how, what is the word, oh God? What is the word of encouragement? What is the sage word, oh God? How are you making us in this season? What are we supposed to be focused on? Put us all on the wheel again and turn us until we come out the shape that you want us to be. And so again, I focus back on this scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. A little here and a little there. And so today I'm going to drag this out because this is the season. Okay. We're just going to deal with that word precept. We're going to deal with the moral rule of conduct. We're going to deal with guidance and direction. And we're going to deal with the regulation of behavior and thought. And the Bible tells us to take every thought captive into the obedience of God. Anything that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God, we need to tear down that thought, take it captive, you know. And so for precept, to deal with our thinking, to tear down a thinking that has been planted in us, perhaps even by the enemy, and we shouldn't think that way or we shouldn't be that way. That precept, that word of the Lord, that line upon line, that word that guides us and directs us, that like the word of the Lord said, it is to instruct us, it is to rebuke us, it is to cause us to do the right thing for the right reason, expecting the right results. That's the word. The Bible says the interest of God's word bringeth light. And that light we need to see our way out of darkness. And so that precept is something that will cause the behavior done in the dark, the light to shine on us so we can no longer behave that way. If that precept will shine the light on our thoughts so that we should not think that way. Philippians tell us how to think, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. And so the line upon line and the precept upon precept for the believer is important. It's important for us to follow precepts, okay? And so that today, when we look at the world, we're in the world, we're not of the world. When we look at the world and we don't know leaders what to believe, because when you turn on your radio or turn on your television, the political establishment is telling you this is going on and that is going on. The doctors are telling you one thing. The police are telling you one thing. The governors are telling you one thing. The other pastors and other leaders are telling you don't know what to believe. And these institutions which you believed in before and thought you could trust, well, we certainly have had, at least in America, a leadership who has degraded or or talked about in such a disparaging way those institutions and that we don't believe, or we've been infiltrated by outside influences feeding us lies. So the people, your congregation, people that you lead, they're hearing this day on day, day in and day out, night and day. They go to bed in CNN and MSNBC or whatever radio or television station they listen to, and they wake up and they're more of hearing that propaganda, if you want to call it, or hearing those words rather than hearing. So as a leader, you've got to be line upon line and precept upon precept in that word. You got to be able to stack that word and teach that word and instruct that word in such a way that the thoughts of the believers, the behaviors of the believers will be in line with God's word. Because God will bless his word. He will bless his word. And you will be a blessing if you receive and you eat and you heed his word. And so our people, those that we lead, will quickly lean toward fear and paranoia. And we would, and when you're living in fear, you're out of control. Your wisdom goes out the window. Your behavior goes awry and your thoughts are all over the place. And so as a leader, you got to deliver a word that will bring people back center into the will and the way and the wisdom of the Lord. Let me say that again. The will, the way, and the wisdom of the Lord. As a leader, you have got to be equipped. You've got to rightly divide that word of truth so your congregants, your sheep, your the people that God has called you to lead will hear that word, heed that word, live by that word. The Spirit of the Lord will light upon a word of truth and magnify it into the ears and to the ear gates and the spirit of those that you are speaking to. So leaders, come on, come on. The Bible tells us to obey the law of the land. So if the law says, don't congregate no more than 10 of you, don't get so bent up out of shape because you are the church. God has given us technology that we can, if you have available to you in wherever you are, you can broadcast the word from your home and let people be in their home with their children. And as a plague comes through, as the indignation, whatever it is, I don't know the mind of God in that regard. I don't know if it's of God or Satan. I do know this, that we have protection in God. The believers do. He said of his vineyard, I told you that in the prayer last week, he said he will water it. He will guard it. Amen. He'll water it. And he'll guard it, right? He did three things. I'm going to turn to my notes because I don't want you to miss any of that, what the Lord had told us on last week, because it was powerful. It was powerful. Amen. And so we found all that in Isaiah 26. Did you go back and read it for yourself? I encourage you to do so. God will take care of his vineyard night and day, morning and morning. He will do that. We are his vineyard. Amen. And God will take care of us. Amen. And so as God is watering us and guarding us and protecting us, amen, then we have that assurance. So fear should not be a part of our lives. We just follow the instructions. Do the right thing for the right reason. If your government tells you to do something that is not in conflict with the word, then obey that. So that, again, the social distancing is for to protect the people. So don't make them think that they're not walking in faith because they are being obedient to the law of the land. If it's going to slow down the contagion of whatever this virus is that is plaguing the world right now, then be a part of that. Go in, shut your house. If you have children, love on your children, teach them the word of God, pray with them, listen to church on the radio or watch church on the television, or open up your Bible and have church there. It is a time for you to homeschool your children, teach them the word of the Lord. Amen. In the home. Amen. We've given away our rights anyway too much. We've allowed too many other people to teach our children what we should be teaching our children anyway. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy to teach your children four times a day where God has brought you from. So parents are the first teachers. So be okay with this new normal that is not just going to be on the pastor. It's not just going to be on the leaders, the Sunday school teachers, but you yourself as parents teach your children. Amen. Teach them the ABCs and teach them the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And so as leaders, we want to, by the word of the Lord, help people to embrace this normal As Isaiah 26 and 20 say, go in your house and shut the door until this calamity is passed, until this destruction is passed. Go in. And so the government is saying, go in, you know, rest at home until this plague has ceased in the land. It's not going to be forever, but if it takes longer than what we expect, we're not in our houses in fear. We're in our houses in faith. We're waking up in faith. We're going to bed in faith. As a leader, be able to preach that kind of message. We're going to obey the law of the land, but we're going to be in faith. We're going to wash our hands as many times as we need to wash our hands. If we're on the front line and we have to go out from our house, we're going to trust that God is going to take care of our household till we get back, and it's going to take care of us where we're going. Hats off right now to all frontliners, doctors and nurses and technicians and researchers and grocery store clerks and gas station clerks and pharmacy techs and things like that. Anybody that has to be out in the public so the public can keep getting what they need. Hats off. We pray for them and for their families. Doctors and nurses and aides are dying with those that are dying because of this plague. And it is no time for us to get halty and be tested. I'm in faith. I'm going to fill my church house up and we're going to be there. No, your people are going to go to all areas of their communities and everywhere, and they may be carrying this virus. Be obedient. Be a part of the solution, as the word would say. Be obedient to the law of the land, as the word of God says, line upon line and precept upon precept. So I want to talk about that. If the word of God will cause us to behave correctly, morally, justly, if the word of God will teach us how to obey the law of the land and God, whenever the disciples in the Bible practiced civil disobedience, it was because it was in direct violation to the Lord's word. And they didn't mind suffering because of that as well. So that if the land asks you to do something that is against God's word, don't do it. Don't even complain about it if you have to suffer with it. But if it does not obey it, be a part of the solution. That's what I'm encouraging you as leaders to be. Listen, it is not wisdom for you to encourage people to intentionally and on purpose disobey the law of the land. Check yourself. I'm just asking. You may not be doing that, but I know across the street from my house, there's a church full of people. And in the locality where I am, they have asked nicely, do not congregate, 10 or more of you. They asked the students down in Florida, here in America, to come off the beaches. And now they've gone back to all their several states that they were from and taken that virus with them. And now they are coming up with positive diagnoses. So I'm just saying, disobedience is not good. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You should obey the law of the land. You should know the word. You should know the precept. It will teach you how to think and teach you how to behave. A precept. We're just talking about precept this broadcast. We will talk about line upon line next week. But let's talk about the precept that will impact your thoughts and your behaviors from a moral standpoint. It is intended to guide you. It is a rule of action. It is a rule of moral conduct. It will give you directions. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord how? With all your heart. And do what? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Consider your ways, hey God. Acknowledge him. Come on, God. And he will do what? Direct your path. In other words, his word will give you a direction. His voice will give you a direction. There'll be a still small voice telling you to go this way or that way behind your ear, the Bible says. But when God speaks to you audibly as a leader and tell you what to do that is right according to his word, then do it. And then teach your people how to what? Do it. We're encouraged wherever we are all over the world, whether you're from a third world country or whether you're from a country that's on other major religions that is not Christian, or whether you're here in America supposedly being under the Christian rule and law. But you know, we have not in all places all over the world, we have not been totally obedient to the word of the Lord. So if judgment has come to the land and we're in the land, God is going to teach us how to put the blood over the post door, all right, and survive through it. But we have to learn to be obedient. We have to learn how to honor the precept. The precept will teach us how to think and how to behave. The precept will teach us how to think and how to behave. The word of the Lord will teach us how to think and how to behave. I just believe that. I'm staying right there. It's a command or it's a principle. It is a rule. It is a guide. It is a direction. It is intended especially as a general rule of action. And I'm telling you today, as a leader, be okay with being very directed. Listen, if somebody loses Jesus by not being in church one Sunday, five Sundays, seven Sundays, 10 Sundays. Heck, at the beginning, in the beginning biblical times, they only went to the temple once a year. They didn't lose their God when they did that. And the people of God, if you find a way, write a letter, do whatever you can if you don't have technology, pray. Pray for your congregants if you don't see them. Don't be so concerned how many tithes you lose because they're not present, whether they'll send money in the mail or not. Listen, the church is not the building. The people are the building. You know, this is a time for you to give you some rest and for you can horn in your sermons and be more precise in what you do and build up people. Teach your people how to think and how to behave according to God's word. Leader, you can do that. And God is going to give you the wherewithal to do that. This sage conversation has a whole lot to do with, leader, what is the precept of God? What is the rule? What is the moral rule that will change behaviors and change thoughts to the will and the way and the wisdom of God? That's your assignment in this season. As the world is causing us to come home and get a new normal, come out of the four walls of the church. You won't go from annual to annual. You won't have your pastor's anniversary, your nurse's anniversary, your choir anniversary. All of that stuff is out of the window now. Now it's just you and the Lord and your family. You, the Lord, and those that God has given you to lead. And his word. That word that's going to cause you to be a moral leader. That will lay down a rule based on God's word. That rule will cause people to act and behave in a certain way. Which has always been the way of God. We just strayed away from it. We went into fables where it should have always been line upon line and precept upon precept. It should always been a word that will strengthen us and cause us to do the right thing for the right reason, expecting the right results to glorify God and to benefit mankind. I'm just encouraging you, leader to leader, let's go back to the old landmark. Remember last week in chapter 28 where he says there's been a true stone, a foundation been laid. That's Christ. That's Christ. And we should build nothing over that. And we should look to nothing other than that. Amen? And that foundation is Christ. Go back and read the 26th chapter through the 28th chapter and hear what the Lord would say to you. Amen? Verse 16 of the 28th chapter said, therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay, God did this. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Amen. Unbelief must be doing something, and thus it works its own undoing. But faith maketh no more haste than good speed. And thus it is not forced to go back sorrowfully by the way in which it followed heedlessly. That was Spurgeon talking to us. And so I'm just saying to you today, men and women of God all over the world, let's be a leader that goes back and that our foundation be Christ, who is the Word of God, who came down in the flesh and dwelt among us. Let it be that word that changes thoughts and behavior. Let it be that word that takes every thought captive. Any word that exalts itself, or any imagination rather, that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Amen? We're to tear it down. And the precept of the Lord, the word of the Lord, will tear it down. I promise you will. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this admonishing word today. We thank you for this one word, precept. We thank you for the moral rule. We thank you that for that rule that will cause our conduct and our direction to change according to your will and your way and your wisdom. We thank you, Lord God, for you have called us to be a leader. You've chosen us as leaders, and we should do it your way because our way is not worth going. Jesus told us clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. And it is the will of the Lord, no matter what's going on in the world, that you would take care of your vineyard. We trust your word. We believe your word. And if we heed your word, we will be all right. We know that. We believe that. You're a good God, and we love you. And we know you love us. And it's in your son, Jesus' name, we praise you and we pray. Until next time, this has been Love Your Making with Dr. B. God bless you. And remember that I love you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, welcome to Create Your Own You. As I always say, make sure you are being the person that you want to be and not what others expect you to be. How is everything going? I know with everything that's going on in the world today, you know, a lot of people are probably feeling, you know, a little down or a little negative or depressed and things of that nature. But what we have to do is always remember and be grateful that we are alive and we were able to see another day on this planet that we call Earth. And we must keep our spirits uplifted in this time right now, time of crisis right now, because, you know, we will be getting through it. We're going to get through this, and, you know, we're going to be out living our lives as we used to, you know, going to see family members, hanging out at family members' houses, loving and hugging each other like we used to do. So don't think you're never going to get that back again, because it's going to come back. It's going to take some time. But, you know, in reality, you know, things happen in life that kind of make us do a wake-up call. And right now, this is your wake-up call. You have to understand that, you know, this wake-up call right now, try not to look at it as a negative call. Look at it as positive. You know, there's things that a lot of people, they wanted to do, but they used to work so hard and so much and never had time to spend with their families, that now is the time for you to do the things that you always wanted to do. And, you know, for me, I always just wanted to sit back and just relax. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm sitting back and I'm relaxing. I'm not, you know, consumed with what's going on in the world today. I'm just right now enjoying my time of not being at work. I know a lot of people, you know, they're mad because they have, you know, they're laid off or they're frustrated they're laid off. And, you know, a lot of people live check to check. A lot of people don't even earn incomes, and they may work, you know, a dollar an hour, $2 an hour, depending on where you may live at in the world. You may only earn maybe $75 a month. You never know what people are going through, but we still want to continue to think positive in this situation. Think positive thoughts. You know, reprogram your brain to think things of happiness. Just be happy that you did wake up this morning. Just be happy that you did see your son or your daughter this morning, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, whoever lives in your house. Just be blessed and happy that you have the time right now to spend with them and to enjoy this time to get to know your family again. A lot of us just lost track of time, and we don't know anything about each other, and we live in the same house. You live in the same house, but you don't know anything about each other. You know, now is the time to sit down and probably have, you know, that old-fashioned family dinner that, you know, you used to have probably growing up. Everybody sat at the dinner table at the same time, no distractions. You know, you guys talking about the day, you're talking about life, you're learning more about your kids, the kids are learning more about their parents, you know, you're hearing stories from your grandmother that's probably sitting at the table with you, stories that you probably haven't heard in a long time because your life was so busy and you were out just doing any and everything. So right now is the time to enjoy your family. Enjoy, you know, if you don't have any family that live with you, enjoy talking to somebody on the phone. You know, I got a cousin, Chris. She just lives down the street from me. And although she lives down the street from me, we're both not going to each other's homes. We're just talking to each other on the phone every other day or every day for about 15 minutes. Sometimes it may last an hour, depending on what we're talking about. You know, today I reached out to all my family that, you know, I love and care about. I reached out and called, make sure everybody was doing okay. You know, that's from me living in the city that I live in, my out-of-town family, just doing my weekly checkup, making sure everything's okay. Because, you know, now is a time where people who haven't even heard from you in a very long time, now is a time for you to reach out to them, too. You know, talk to your family members who you probably haven't talked to in years just because your schedules was different, just because you just didn't have the same hours of working. Just, you know, reach out to those people, too. Don't sit in the house. You know, a lot of people are saying that they're bored. You cannot be bored in this situation that's going on now, because boredom leads to depression. Depression leads to other psychological issues. So you have to find things that's going on that can motivate you. You know, depending, you know, maybe you need to repair a kitchen sink. I don't know. Maybe you need to just sit down and read a good book. Maybe you can just, you know, make some jewelry that, you know, metals and stuff that you got at home. What should I do with this? What can I create with this? You know, use your mind to its capacity at this point in time. See how creative you can be in this moment where you're just sitting at home or you're just sitting, you know, watching TV. What more can you do other than just watch TV? TV is, you know, it's going to always be there. So what can you do, honestly, that don't really involve a TV? How creative can you be? You know, I haven't had my TV on all day today, honestly. I've just been reading. I have so many books in my house that I said, you know what, this would be a perfect time for me to sit and read all these books that I purchased, and that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm reading a book by an individual named Chris Hogan. He's a financial guy. I thought, you know, I had this book for a very long time. I need to finish reading it. So that's exactly what I did. I'm finished reading that book. Lisa Nichols is one of my favorite authors. I have like 3 or 4 books of hers that I haven't even touched. So when I'm done with this book, I'm going to start one of her books. So I'm using this time for value. I'm not using this time to waste. And that's another thing. Don't use this time to waste. Use it for value. Use it for purpose. Use it to inspire your family. Use it to inspire others. You know, if you're on Facebook, you know, get on there, go Facebook Live and just do something positive. Just uplift the people in the world. If you don't, you know, if you don't have any problems going Facebook Live, because I know a lot of people have a fear to see themselves on camera. But at this time right now, people need to see you. They need to see that you're doing something positive. So let's just say if you know you're on Facebook and you are probably making, let's say you're just making candles. Let's just throw that out there. You know, do the whole candle making session on Facebook. It gives people ideas. It gives you ideas of, and it motivates you, and it pushes you, and it pushes your drive to do better in this time. Like I said, use this time for value. Don't use this time to be wasted. Anyway, you know, I always, you know, I sit back sometimes in the morning time and I just sit and I just, you know, it's a calmness. I just, you know, just sit there and listen with nothing on, just listening to what's going on around me. You know, it's when it's quiet like that, you have time to center yourself. You have time to think about what you want in life. You have time to think about where you're going to go in life. You have time to think about what your future should be. You know, always take that time in the morning time, you know, 5-10 minutes. It don't have to be nothing lengthy. It don't have to be anything long. Just take that time of quietness just to think, just to say affirmations to yourself, just to say positive things to yourself. Because right now you need it. We need it in this time of trouble that we're in. We definitely need it. But we're going to come through this storm, and we're going to come through this storm, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be exciting. Because right now, while we're in the house, we're just, you know, we're coming up with ideas that we probably never came up with. Or we're coming up with things that we're probably like, you know what, I've never tried that before, but let me try that, you know. Such as, you know, I have people who actually, they're writing their books now, you know, because they have time to write their books. They have plenty of time to write their books. And it's a wonderful thing, because years ago they would tell me, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. But right now you have all the time in the world to get things done. To clean that closet out in your house, to clean that attic out in your house, you have plenty of time to get things done. Like I said, it's very important right now. The real important part right now is really to connect with your family, because that disconnection with the family and social media and TV and school and work, you know, we don't get that time to actually sit down with our family to discuss anything. So right now it's a really, really, really good time to bond back with your family. You know, that goes back to what I was saying early. Right now, it's just that good time to just, hey, you know, so, you know, tell me, you know, find something that you don't know about your daughter that you found out. Like, you probably never knew she liked to play an instrument. But if she play at school, but she don't play at home, but never told you she played at school. So, you know, find out things about your kids that you probably wouldn't even have known that they do. But, you know, my thing is right now is that, you know, I'm all about living the calm life. I'm all about living the abundant life. I'm all about living the prosperity life of, you know, making sure, you know, my well-being is being well taken. You know, I'm taking my health seriously, you know, making sure I'm not doing, you know, things that's going to be detrimental in this time right now because I'm sitting in the house. So, what I suggest is that, you know, continue to move on every day. Continue to, you know, look up to the sky. Continue to see that sun shining, you know. Continue to see the clouds, the blue skies. You know, make sure you're doing something daily that's going to get you uplifted. Make sure you know, if you can't, in a lot of places right now, they don't want you to go outside your house. But can you go out in your yard, you know? Can you sit down in the yard and enjoy the sun? Can you sit on your front porch? Can you sit on your balcony? You know, where is it that you can go that you can get some relief of being in the house, such as sitting outside somewhere, where you're not around a lot of people? Because, you know, you're trying to contain this virus that's going on, so you don't want to be around a lot of people. You know, come this summer, you know, everybody's going to be out doing, you know, at the parks, running, jogging, doing things that, you know, that we are used to. But if you look at this situation right now, this situation is one of those situations is bringing you out your comfort zone, because you've been so comfortable in your situation for so long. You've been comfortable going to work. You've been comfortable going to the grocery store and there's tissue or paper towels and it's meat in the meat cabinet and there's bread on the shelves. And you've been comfortable to that. You've been conditioned to being comfortable to that lifestyle. And now you've been comfortable receiving that paycheck every week. You know, you've been comfortable just being comfortable. Right now, a lot of people out of a comfort zone. And once you get out that comfort zone, you start thinking about different things that you may have wanted to do or things that, you know, how can I create more income? So it gets you out that comfort zone. When we're stuck in that comfort zone, we're not really paying attention to a lot of things because we just want to stay in that little bubble and we just want to live life the same way every day, every day, every day. We don't want anything to change. We want it to just stay the same. And with it staying the same, you become consistent with that comfortability. Okay? Let me repeat that. You become consistent with that comfortability. So being that you're comfortable like that, this what's taking place right now is taking so many people for a world loop that they're not understanding it. Because now it's just bust a bubble. Their bubble is wide open, okay? And now they're thinking, like, what if this was to happen again? What are we supposed to do? But now you can think about it like this. Okay, we're going through this situation now. What can I do to prepare myself for if this happens again? Now, I was looking on the computer a couple of days ago because I wanted to see when was the last, like, huge epidemic such as this that's going on now. So the last one that I found was, I believe it was the Spanish flu in 1919. So almost like, 100 years or so ago? And that lasted for like a year. And it took out hundreds of thousands of people have died from it. Hundreds of thousands of people died from it. So I think it was actually millions, but it was a lot of people that died from the Spanish flu back in 1919. So you think about now that we're in this coronavirus, what can we do to prepare ourselves next time for when this may happen? What can we do? What can we put in place? What systems can we put in place? One thing I can tell you for the ones that do have jobs and that do have income coming in, right now is the time for you to think about how much money you're going to start setting aside for yourself on a weekly basis. So when your bills are due for whatever your bills are due each month, at least you know you have a comfort pad of income that you probably can pay for like 3 to 6 months being laid off of work. You know, it don't even have to be this situation. Your business can close down for whatever reason. Your company can lay you off because they no longer need you. You can get fired from a job. So all of this right here, you know, and the unemployment rate is extremely high over in the U.S. I think we are up to, like, close to 4 million people now that has applied for unemployment in the U.S. So your your employment rate is high. So now what are the things that you're going to do to get yourself ready if something like this happens again? This is all preparation of something that can happen again. It do not have to be this coronavirus that's going on, like I said before. Like I said, it can be your job downsizing. It could be you just getting fired for whatever reason you're getting fired for. It can be your husband lost his job. It can be your wife lost her job. It can be whatever situation there is, but how are we going to learn from this situation to prepare for the next situation? You have to always prepare for your next situation. And, you know, I look on Facebook and I'm looking at all these people saying, you know, they can't get through unemployment. They can't, you know, they need to pay their rent for April or they need to pay their rent for May or whatever the case may be. So they, you know, people are panicking because they can't get through the unemployment system. You can't get through on the line. You can't get through on the computer. It's just chaotic over here trying to get through. But if you would have prepared yourself for a situation like this or any situation, you would know that you would have at least 3 months. I would say 3 months, but for, you know, if you can, just put in the stockpile 3 months of your rent, 3 months of your mortgage. Keep the roof over your head. That's first and foremost. Keep your roof over your head. And then, you know, pay your minimums on any credit cards that you may have, any bills that you have. Just pay the minimums so you can continue to make sure you have money until, like this situation, your unemployment kicks in. I'm not sure how other countries work on what their unemployment system is, or even if they have an unemployment system, or if their government just allow out, you know, money weekly for those individuals. So for those individuals. So I can only speak what's going on for here in the U.S., so I'm not sure exactly how other countries work. But the same scenario is the same. The situation is the same. How are you going to prepare yourself for the situation next time, for the issue that's probably going to happen next time? How are you going to do this? So as I said, we have to continue to think positive about a situation. We have to continue to think on to keep our situation. I'm sorry, guys. I'm working from home. We know everybody is shut down. I have this dog running around. I'm so sorry if you do hear the dog chain in the background. I try to get him to sit in one area, but if I move, he moves. So I apologize if you do hear him in the background, but we are quarantined to be at home and in our houses. So you may get a little bit of home life on the radio station, on the radio this evening. I totally apologize for that. But like I was saying, I'm pretty sure other people who do radio events probably have their kids in the background yelling and screaming and telling them to be quiet, you know. So this is a transition for me because normally I'm in a quiet space, but, you know, this is a transition for me too with doing the show also. So, but I just want people to just understand that I just want you to, you know, in light of what we're going through, just always keep a positive mind. Spend more time with your family. You know, do those family dinners the old-fashioned way like we used to do probably when we were kids. You know, just get discussion going. Maybe, you know, your kid always wanted to learn how to, let's say, play basketball. You may have a basketball hoop in your yard. Go purchase one or have it delivered to the house so the kid can play basketball. Just think of things that you can do to keep yourself occupied. Right now, the key is to keep yourself occupied so you don't go into depression, so you don't fall into that, like my mom says, I think it's called woe is me. Oh, woe is me, oh, it's happening to me, oh, it's me type situation, so that you don't fall into that. But I do want to leave you with a couple of affirmations that I want you to say to yourself and probably follow along with me on here. So, you know, the first one is I want you to say when you wake up in the morning, I'm just going to go through a few of them, and I'm going to say them slowly so that you can hear them all and hear them fully, okay? So the first one is, and repeat after me too if you want to, I am blessed. I am loved. I am beautiful. I only speak positive to my life. I am grateful to have another day. I am happy that my family is healthy or is being healed, because some of our family has been hit by this crisis. I have courage to seek what I need. I am strength. I am powerful. I am strong. I am abundant. I am driven. I believe in myself. I am motivated. I am dedicated. I am confident if I put my mind to it, I will achieve it. I am fearless. I am taking positive action today. I am at one. I am relaxed. I am open. So those are just some things I want you to say throughout your day to get you through these next 30, 45 days of what hopefully this pandemic could calm down by then and to go on a downhill. So every day get up and say some type of affirmation to yourself, because once you start programming positivity into your brain, into your subconscious, we're the only animal, if you're humans, are the only animal that has a subconscious. So all of that get programmed into your subconscious. So when you think in positive, it's already in the subconscious, and it's going to bring it right back to you. So try not to say negative thoughts to yourself throughout this whole entire process, because that's not going to get you anywhere. Just continue to say, like I just did, some affirmations, you know, write them down. Go back and listen to this radio show again. Listen to it over and over. Listen to it and, you know, write down your I ams. Have your own I ams. Put them on your, in your car. Put them in the kitchen. Put them in the bathroom. Put them on your front door. Put them on the screen. Wherever you need to put this at, so you can have that positive mental clarity going on with you throughout the day. This is Vanita DeReese with Create Your Own You, and I am so happy and blessed that I'm here today to speak with you. And I want to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, peace and blessings to you wherever you are at in the world. Have a blessed day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.